1 year, 1933, I think it was, we tapped the 20th day of February. See, that's only 10 days, 11 days.
Yeah, but I don't usually tap till in March. Last year
but
he didn't.
You never can tell when the weather changes and freezing nights and thawing days. You can't never tell when Sherburne's going to commence. But I'd say probably not much before the 10th of March. Because usually if you tap too early, the sap is more or less water when it first comes. It's frost out of the trees. And if you went right there to pick it up, it'll freeze pretty near solid water. But after sugar really comes and the sap begins to get sweet, she'll freeze pretty hard and there'll be sap inside of the ice. But you could freeze a lot of buckets even then if it freezes up too tight. So we don't like to tap too early on that account.
We did that year, that we had to go around and chip all them buckets out.
Yeah, that was about the 15th of March, then we got them all froze up.
Yeah, so around, take them old foil and knock holes in them and let the stuff all out of them.
Well, you see, it'll freeze up so much it'll bust your bucket.
Oh.
Mm. Warren Mattoon hauled for 4 or 5 days. Hauled the buckets to the sugar house and put them in the top of the sugar rig and thawed them in out, you know, so he could dump the ice. And then took them back and hung them on. The rest of the work for near a week, get the ice out of the bucket.
Mm.
No, you never know. We've sugared for a good many years. Well, off and on for 40 years. And you never know when to start. Never.
When's the first time you remember sugaring?
Oh, back when I was a kid, 1913. It was the year we bought the new rig. My father, folks had bought a new lightning rig, 1913. I was 5 years old. It was the first that I can remember sugaring.
You remember that?
Yeah. I was four coming five when I come back to Vermont. I was born in New Hampshire. And I didn't remember it. And I can remember the winter before we come back. I was three coming four. And had out on the pond, George Pond, my father used to cut a hole through the ice to water his horses. And we was told not to go out there. But kid fashion, we had to go out and look in the hole in the ice. I slipped and went down into the hole. My brother pulled me out. I had long hair, clad my shoulders. My brother pulled me out of the hole with my hair. And I couldn't figure for a long time why he pulled me up with the hair. Hadn't been for that, I'd gone on the ice and my troubles had been all over. I was three coming four then, and I can remember going through that hole in the ice. Because I wondered why my folks made me go to bed. They stripped my wet clothes off me and put me in bed. I was mad because they put me in bed.
It's a long time to remember.
Yeah, I remember back a lot better things that happened years and years ago than I can something happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Getting old, living in the past, you know.
Well, it sounds like there were some good things about the past.
Yeah, I remember the first cat I ever see. Was an old 1911 Buick. The mailman had it. And it didn't have no windshield in it. Had straps that come up from the fenders. Had a canvas top. And them straps come clear up from the fenders to hold the top down. And I can remember that old Buick. The dog hated that thing. Had an old dog, he's half hound, half shepherd. And he would bark for an hour after that thing had gone by. Maybe that's the reason why I remembered, on account of the dog. And in the spring, before we come back here to Vermont, I was 4, and he said it would be 5 in October. And I remember, well, Dad had to sell some of his horses. They had an icy winter and weren't able to work the horses all winter. And he had to sell some of the horses and stuff to meet his debts before he come home. And I remember him selling a little Morgan mare, just a year old. And how bad my mother felt because she had to sell a colt. And he sold one pair of his work horses. Sold these sleds. And I remember coming home. We come with a pair of horses clear from Enfield, New Hampshire. And we'd ride with the father of Hoyle with a double team. And I remember we had a box full of hens. And they'd lay eggs, and we'd reach in there, and the old hen would pick at us. Mm-hmm. And we'd fish the eggs out. And then mother'd come along with the driving horse, and then we'd ride with her. I can remember them things pretty good. Well, something happened yesterday. I'd forget all about it. I wouldn't even know what I had to eat for yesterday's dinner.
No, it's not so important.
Yeah. I remember down there, there's an old family by the name of Russells. They once got discouraged and sold the books away and never kept them in sense. The books drive a man crazy. He thinks the interest he pays and everything, he's better off if he never keeps books.
You kept books back when?
Oh, back years ago. I used to keep books on everything. And I got so discouraged I sold the books away and I ain't never kept any books since. Of course, they're good. Man gets ahead of anything. He keeps books. Knows where he stands, what he's doing. But there's a lot of headaches in keeping books. When we went to the agricultural school after the war, we were supposed to keep books on that, on all the property and everything, income, outgo, and all work. But I never would keep them. If you got any money, spend it. If you ain't got any, wait till you get there.
How's that?
I say, if you ain't got any money, go without it till you can get something.
Yeah, it's like you said, if you start figuring the hours you got in,
yeah,
and taking care of a pig, by the time you slaughter him, there's not much luck.
No, it just makes you feel kind of blue doing something for nothing. We used to figure in the old days, if you get something to eat and you could pay your bills, you was a pretty smart man. And now you can't even do that.
It's hard being honest.
Well, as they say, an honest man don't get nowhere, and I think it's true. But if you was brought up honest, it's kind of hard to be anything else. Look at this gasoline business. Do you think there's anything honest about that?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I wish everything would level off and people wouldn't be so much of a hurry and so gouging for a dollar. Everybody'd be a lot happier.
Back in the old days, you think it was different?
Yeah, a lot better. People want gouging. And they were satisfied with less because they never had the things that we have now. They were satisfied with a good living, pay the bills, and as they went along. All of these places that we have was family places, 5, 6 kids. They sent the kids to school, got a good grade education, paid the bills. And everybody seemed to be pretty happy. The world wants to pass as it is now. Nobody's happy now, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. And if you are happy and getting along, paying your bills, they won't let you alone. They've got to come in with more tax money. It don't make any difference where your property is worth anymore. They think it's worth more. They're going to tax you for it. Just because somebody come in here and bought a few acres of land, paid a big price, they've jumped the whole thing up to that big price now. If you got an acre of land, it's solid ledge. It ain't good for nothing. They still got that big price on it. And if a man can't unload it, he's got to pay that tax.
Did you ever check into that thing I brought over?
Church when you were young?
Never went to church much in my life.
Really?
Kind of home Baptist.
Yeah?
Yeah. I went to church more in the last year I was in the service than I ever went before. And then when I was a boy, I used to stay with my aunt and uncle in Stratford in the summer months. And I always had to go to church on Sunday over there. So that's the most I ever went to church, I guess, was when I was a very small boy.
It's about like me.
Yeah, probably.
Did your dad go, or?
No, not too much. Once in a great while, they'd have a get-together with my mother's folks in Stratford. All her folks was over there. And they'd all go over to Berkshire. My mother was born in Berkshire. And they'd all go to Berkshire Church and go to church. Then after church, they'd all have a picnic about once a year. But my folks never went to church too much. We could have gone if we wanted to, but we had more things that we'd rather do than go to church.
You tell me how your father could cut wood with a double-bitted axe and then take it into town in the afternoon. So he,
yeah.
Did he do a lot of that, or?
Yeah, he practically fed his family for years that way. You see, he was, he come out of Adirondack Mountains. He was, and they made the living mostly up there in the lumber woods. And of course he learned it. When he was real young, he was 9 years old the first year that he went into the lumber woods. Then when he come here to Vermont, got married, and he practically, in the winter months, he practically fed his family by working in the woods, cutting 4-foot wood and hauling it to town. And he was an expert chopper. He'd cut his cord of wood in the forenoon and split it, and haul it to Chelsea in the afternoon, and do it day in, day out. He made his living in the winter months by cutting this 4-foot wood. And he'd get out anywhere from 60, 75 cords of wood in the winter, besides doing his chores and his other work.
A lot of wood.
It seemed to be so easy for him. I suppose he got tired just like anybody else, but it seemed so every stroke would count. You'd never see him take a second chip in. He'd always take a chip big enough on each side so it cut the stick right off. They cut everything with the axe, and they didn't use saw for years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I must have been a boy probably 12 years old, or such a matter, before we ever had a crosscut saw. And then we got a crosscut saw, and the damn thing never worked too good after he got dull, and he'd throw it in the bushes and go get his axe and finish chopping it up.
One of those draw saws, handles?
Yeah, crosscut.
Yeah.
And for years he used to cut his fireplace, his stove wood, all on a chopping block. He'd small wood, and take a stick in one hand, the axe in the other, and it's just one blow to a stick. And he's got quite a pile of firewood for the house in just a few minutes. And I've seen him lots of times cut a big log. He'd cut down in, and then he'd slab it off, and then he'd cut down in, and then he'd slab it off, and he'd cut the firewood for the night. Just a few minutes with the axe. Now I think we have to have chainsaws and circular saws and everything to get the wood pile. But he just got the whole wood pile with just the axe.
They still sell them, but you don't see many.
No, you don't see many good double-bitted axes now.
Saw one in Colby's for $12 a while ago.
But you don't see very many people use an axe today. Even the people that's lumbering, they do it practically all with a chainsaw. They do all the limbing. Having a head axe there to drive the wedge or something, but you don't see much chopping done. You take two good men with a good crosscut and a man that knows how to file a crosscut, they put up more logs than one man and a chainsaw. They'd average practically as many logs in a day as a man and a chainsaw.
I often wondered about that.
Yep.
Because it'd be hard to go into the woods with a chainsaw and cut a cord and take it to town day after day.
Yeah.
Even now.
Yeah, you're talking about two different things. You're talking about 16-inch wood with a chainsaw.
Or 4 foot.
Where they cut 4 foot with the axe. But if a man went into woods and he cut a cord of 16-inch wood and split it and sewed it into a truck and delivered it to town, he'd know he'd done something. A lot of them will tell you how much they can cut, but when they come and cut it and measure it, it'll fall damn short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was he pretty strict, your dad?
Pretty what?
Strict.
Yeah. Pretty strict, and if he said anything, he wanted it carried out. If he told us never not to do anything, we didn't do it. He used to have an old elk hide belt hanging up on a nail.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to use it about once a year, and that's all he needed. It didn't bother him. We didn't answer back or anything. One belting would go a year. And that thing could fit awful close.
Mm-hmm. Elk hide.
Yep, elk hide belt. He used to wear it for years, and then he got where he didn't need to wear it, and so we used it on our skid. But he was good to us. As long as we behaved ourselves, we didn't get the belt. And I don't remember my mother ever licking me only once in my life. I threw the stick and hit in the heels. She took a stick and used it on me.
You do it by accident? Or are you mad?
No, I done it because I was mad.
Oh.
You know, she used it on me. I never needed it again. That's the only time she ever put the stick on me.
What did Harry and you do for fun when you had free time in the spring?
Oh, we used to do everything. We had homemade snowshoes. We traveled all over these hills on wooden snowshoes made out of pine boards. And then we had skis, even homemade skis. And we had snow jumpers.
What's that?
I'll take a tree, it's got a crook in it, and shave it down to about an inch thick, and then put a 4x4 onto that, and then a seat onto it. And you ride down these hills, really go places. Yeah, in the summertime, we used to have buggy wagons, take the body off of buggy wagons, and roll these wheels all over these hills. Ride all over these hills on that buggy wagon frame.